Good morning. This is The Conversation for Thursday, April 23rd. The 2015 point in time count of Hawaii's homeless came out this week. And as we now know, the numbers are higher on Oahu. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. This morning, the state's homelessness coordinator, Colin Kippen, weighs in. Meanwhile, new research is causing scientists to reevaluate how long in advance they can predict an El Nino year. The co-author of the study, UH professor Axel Timmerman, explains why it's a paradigm shift.
I'm Chris Vandercook, and writers often build a collection of politely worded rejection letters. It's one of the pitfalls of the profession. But Kauai writer David Dinner has some suggestions. He's one of the planners of the upcoming Kauai Writers Conference. But first, we're going to go to today's news.
Just see someone strolling down the street doing that. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
Morning,
how'd you like
Beth
that?
Ann. Yeah, well, it had some bounce to it, didn't it?
Yeah, we were watching a lot of bouncing going around this table.
That's right.
Well, this morning we're going to talk about something that is not bouncing exactly the way we'd like to see it. Homelessness. Now, this week, the city and county of Honolulu found out that it had a greater issue with homelessness than perhaps it thought. The 2015 point-in-time count for Oahu showed the number of chronically homeless singles had increased 19%. Homeless vets showed a 21% increase. Neighbor Island homeless population data is due next month, but today we're going to look behind the Oahu numbers with Hawaii's homelessness coordinator, Colin Kippen. Good morning. Thanks for coming back.
Aloha, Beth Ann.
Good to talk to you again. Now, it's been suggested that because there was a really concerted effort, well coordinated, that the reason we may be seeing some of these inflated numbers or an increase in the numbers is because simply the counting was done better. Do you agree with that?
I think so. This is a voluntary count. And the question is, where did you sleep on the night of January 25th? And every year it's some date in January, and we ask the question to the community, to everyone, you know, where did you sleep? And this is a homeless survey that we do, and it's a voluntary survey that we're doing with volunteers. So what we, I think, did a better job this year of doing is finding people who were unsheltered. Because in order to be able to survey someone who is not in a shelter, you've got to be able to locate them. So they may be, you know, sleeping in a place where they don't want to be found. And in fact, that is a usual strategy for someone who is homeless. You don't want to be kicked out of the place that you've chosen to spend the night. So you're not always in the most obvious, notorious, well-known places. You're in a place where, you know, you're really not looking to be found.
Right. That said, Colin Kippen, though, don't these numbers sort of tell us that we have a trend?
We do.
And this is not a good one.
Yeah, the trend is not going in the right direction. And I can tell you that a couple of things that if you look at the data, what you'll see is that we started doing this in 2009. And so in 2009, 67% of our homeless population on Oahu was sheltered. Now it's 60%. So the number has gone down 7 percentage points. The unsheltered number in 2009, people who were unsheltered, was 33%. That number has now gone up to 40%. So you're seeing the numbers going in exactly the opposite direction that we'd like to see them go.
In terms of percentages, but when we're talking about raw number of people counted, according to this data, it says we have almost 5,000 homeless individuals on Oahu.
Right.
That number compared to what we saw in 2009, not that inconsistent.
Right. About 200 people increased. Right. So we've identified 200 more people.
But that's still 200 more people than anyone would like to see, and certainly wouldn't like to see any of them.
Right.
Be unsheltered. So at this point, knowing that the trend is appearing to be either more accurately captured or moving in the wrong way. What happens here with the city doing what it has been doing and the state running, it seems, not quite a parallel path, but a much more advanced path?
Well, the big idea on in homelessness, in addressing homelessness, is really a housing-first approach. And what that means is you house people as quickly as possible. And you realize, and I guess the understanding is, that a person who is without a home is in the most unstable situation they could be in. So if you can house them very quickly, rapidly rehouse them or into a housing first kinds of situation as quickly as possible, what you're then able to do is make whatever treatment or other kinds of services that you're able to provide that much more effective.
Wrap them around them and have them at least be stable
right
where they're living. We've talked so much about housing first over the last several years, but it seems the interpretation of what housing first means looks very different. You've just been on the mainland in D.C. and San Francisco and in Salt Lake City talking to some of the folks there that have done some work, particularly San Francisco and the Tenderloin District, a very difficult place to be, and of all places, Salt Lake City, that seems to be doing so well with housing first. What are they doing that somehow we're not?
Well, in Salt Lake City, what's absolutely incredible is the collaboration that occurs across their system. The other thing is that they're working together with a housing first approach. And I find this a really remarkable thing, because housing first is an approach which says, you don't need, you know, we're not going to require that you have addressed all of the issues in your life for us to house you. What we realize is that by housing you as quickly as we can then address those issues. So in a community, you know, it happens to be the center for the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and there's this confluence of sort of spirituality and the faith-based community and government, which have all agreed that this is the direction we want to go in. Housing first. We're going to house people, even though they may not have, they are not yet presently done all of the things that we would require them to do in order to house them. And in fact, that was the model in most places. In most places, the model was that you need to be fully compliant in order to earn the right to housing.
But especially in a place like Salt Lake City, where there might have been a number of hoops that someone had to move through to be able to be housed, the point that you're making is, hey, it works when you house people first. In Hawaii, and particularly in Honolulu, looking at how do you do that and how the city has been interpreting that versus how the state has been interpreting that, what do you see in that chasm between?
I think this is an issue that we need to resolve. I know that the state's Housing First program was crafted in a way that it was infidelity with the Housing First model. And we took great pains through the RFP process to make sure that it did that. I wasn't in control of what the city's doing, but I'm looking forward to hearing more about how that program is being run and whether or not it is really in fidelity with the concepts of Housing First.
And the idea of an integrated infrastructure?
We absolutely need an integrated infrastructure because, again, this whole idea of coordination, you cannot have different funders creating different programmatic approaches which end up with just this confusion about what it is we're doing.
All right, we're going to leave it right there for the moment, but we promise a longer conversation very soon. Colin Kippen, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Colin Kippen is the state's homelessness coordinator. By profession, he's a lawyer and urban planner and has worked as a prosecutor, defense attorney, civil attorney, and a tribal judge in Washington State. We're going to go over now to the pledge table at Pledge Central, which is actually the library, the music library at Hawaii Public Radio, to see how HPR2 is doing. And I understand, Wayne, you're there with Molly.
Yes, we are.
Celebrating.
Yes. Thank you so much, Beth Ann. And a great discussion on the rising number of homelessness in Hawaii and the Housing First solution. Good morning. I'm Wayne Yoshioka, HBR's political reporter. And we have also Chad Blair from the Civil Beat, political reporter.
This is a real treat to be here because, Wayne, you actually have the job that I used to have.
I know.
I taught him everything he knows, folks, believe me. And Wayne's just doing a heck of a job with the political reporting. And Molly, I'm just amazed. I just got to plug it again. You won not one, not two, but three Murrow Awards. Pretty much, yes, everybody. Pretty much the highest honor you can get. I only have one Murrow Award myself.
Oh, Chad, you got to catch up. You got to get back
here. But you know what? It was actually at HPR.
Really?
And they wouldn't let me take the trophy when I left, actually.
It's still up there, probably.
You have a picture, at least.
Yeah. They took the picture down, too, when I left. But, you know, they keep pulling me back in, Wayne.
So. Okay. Well, let's give the numbers. 941-3689 on Oahu. Toll free from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. Our award-winning Molly Solomon, HBR General Assignment Reporter. We have some people to thank.
We do. We had a flurry of phone calls there. I'd like to thank a renewing member, Danette Tinon, calling from Hawaii Kai, loves Ian Capps, really a big fan of Early Muse.
Me too.
Thank you, Danette. Also, Mary Ellen Ng calling, also from Hawaii Kai, Bank of Hawaii employee, challenging other Bank of Hawaii people to give. Thank you, Mary Ellen. And Jason Mukaida called in a gift from Honolulu. Thank you so much, you guys. We really appreciate it.
And Chad, we have some people.
Be happy to say these names on the air. Betty Brown from Honolulu, a first-time member, and that always warms my heart to think someone finally came on. Also, a Bank of Hawaii employee, probably shamed with Peter Ho saying, you better call in now. Peter Ho, the chairman and CEO of Bank of Hawaii. And then Leanne Aoki is another first-time member. She's from Kaneohe. And you can join HPR or you can renew your pledge. You can sustain your pledge. We'll talk about that in just a second. But the number to call here on Oahu is 941-3689. And that's a free call, as it should be, anywhere off Oahu, 1-877-941-3689.
And we have Chad's colleagues from the Civil Beat here, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, and Mike, waiting for your call,
And Louie, too.
And Louie's here as well.
Right. Yes, they're all waiting for your call, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free, 877-941-3689. Support some of the local programming like The Conversation, which, Chad, you've been on a few times.
Yeah.
Just a few times. In fact, during this very hour, I will actually have to get out of this chair, walk down the hallway, and go into Studio 7, right? CR7?
Right. Yeah.
And actually will be face-to-face with Beth Ann and Chris Vandercook. Normally, I'm back at our offices on Wailea, but we have what's known as an ISDN line. And because of that, it makes it sound like I'm actually there, but I'm not really there. But today, I'll be live and in the studio.
We'll be able to hear the difference.
Right.
There,
yeah. I mean, I'm always live. I never phone this thing in. Actually, sometimes I do phone this thing in, but it's not canned because the conversation's a regular part of our contribution. We are happy that Hawaii Public Radio and Civil Beat have this continuing partnership.
And there's nothing like a reality check face-to-face.
Yes.
You know what I mean? The numbers to call, 941-3689 for your support of local programs like The Conversation. Toll-free from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689.
And, you know, I actually started here at Hawaii Public Radio as an intern with The Conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Beth Ann, you know, took some pity on me and decided, hey, we'll let her do something. So, and I started there, and I can tell you, my God, they put so much together with such a small staff, too.
Yeah.
Like, they're really able to get a lot done.
Noe Tanigawa.
Absolutely. Lillian Song. Taylor is over there now.
And Bill Dorman, of course, running the show.
Yeah.
You know, was that a paid internship or was it free, Molly? I'm just curious.
You know, it was. I don't know if you could call it paid. Paid in experience. No, but actually the second half of it, the SPJ, they generously offer
Society
internships.
Of exactly. Yeah.
So I got to hop onto one of those in the fall.
Right.
So it was great.
You mean you guys get paid for doing this?
Oh, gosh. Cat's out of the bag.
I mean, we like HBR, but really, you know, it's important to pay the rent.
The numbers to call, 941-3689 on Oahu. Toll free from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689. We have staff members from Civil Beat waiting for your call.
You know, Wayne, one of those staff members, Louis Kanea, is a recent hire from by way of Chicago. He finally got to come to a place that's a lot warmer during the wintertime. And Louis lives in Waikiki, and I can tell you that he's a first-time member. And I'm guessing you let Louis, you did listen to public radio when you were in Chicago, I'm guessing. Yeah, okay, but now he's officially, we shamed him into it. We said, come on down, take some calls, but darn it, sign up as well. Thanks, Louie.
The numbers to call, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll free, 877-941-3689.
If we still have, we've got a few minutes before
we
go back.
Yes, a minute and a half.
Yeah, it's important to plug this very important challenge from Planning Solutions. It's the You Really Must Come Back challenge, and this is for folks that maybe haven't been paying their dues for a little while, and we're encouraging them to return, because what Planning Solutions will do is they will match that pledge 2-1, but that's for the first break only, right, Phyllis? That means the first phone call. So if you're someone who used to be a member, was paying, and kind of let that lapse, if you call now, Planning Solutions will match that 2-1.
Wow.
But one other thing, if you are a sustaining member, and that's someone who's really committing for the long haul, that match from Planning Solutions will be a 3-1 match. So call now, no better time to get your money going. It's 941-3689 on Oahu and 1-877-941-3689. That's a toll-free number.
And we really welcome all of our sustaining members back. Not our children, but not mine anyway. But we really want our sustaining members to come back. The numbers to call, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free, 877-941-3689. We have members from Civil Beat waiting for your call. We now go back to Chris Vandercook and the conversation. Chris, are you there?
I am there. Thank you, Wayne.
Good.
And Molly, and I thought I heard the dulcet tones of Chad Blair as well. You're back with the conversation on HPR2. And aspiring writers, like all aspiring artists at one time or another, are cautioned that they're going to need to deal with rejection. And that's an off-putting word. Who seeks rejection, after all? Should it change your ideas about the value of your own work? David Dinner says no. He's one of the organizers of the upcoming second annual Kauai Writers Conference. And as he has written, I am an author in the seed. Editors, agents, and publishers, take your best shot. You may say no, but I will not be rejected. He's on the phone with us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
All right. I liked the spirit behind those words, David.
Thanks. Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate being on the show. Thanks for asking me.
It's something that, you know, writers are famous for having to work in a kind of isolation, right? You write all alone, and you can lose touch with what's good and what ain't and who's going to like it. And it's a difficult process, isn't it?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because this social isolation that has to happen in writing, and yet there's this social camaraderie that also has to happen in order to have it happen successfully. So
it's
you have to have both. You have to be in touch with others to learn the craft, to get published. All kinds of, for writers groups, so all kinds of things have to go on. And I'm really active in writers groups on Kauai, and of course in the Kauai Writers Conference that's coming up. And that's a very social experience, but yet I have to dig in and get alone to write. So it's that combination.
It's really two. They really are polar opposites that couldn't exist without one another, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, you don't want to talk yourself into thinking. I mean, in some ways, one has to be critical of one's own work, and you know, sometimes when you get a letter back or a comment on your work, they have a point. There's something that you need to take on, right?
Absolutely, they do have a point. And that's the thing, if you discount it completely, then you lose the juice. And if you take it too seriously, you lose your own juice.
Yeah.
So you have to balance that, and you have to constantly realize that if you get into your feelings too deeply, when you're taking feedback, you can be paralyzed.
Yeah.
So I think the important thing to take away is to take the points, use them, but process your feelings with your psychologist, you know, or your friends and loved ones, but not with your writing.
Yeah, take it out on your shrig, right?
Right, exactly. He gets paid.
Well, in a sense, you know, but it's a very human impulse when you're criticized to say, well, the guy's an idiot. What does he know? I'm of a much loftier, made of much loftier stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
It's very true. And when I'll tell you a funny story real quickly that you don't know about, and that is that the day after I got this, I wrote this blog entry on rejection for the Kauai Writers Conference. I received an acceptance from an editor to take my book. The whole this rejection thing was about my being rejected by the first person I wrote to. So I got an acceptance, and then I had to wait 2 months while this editor edited my book, and then finally got it back. And then I got a real feeling of rejection because it was very deep and surgical type of editing of my book.
It took out a lot that you thought was pretty good.
Yeah, things that I thought were good, but I could really very clearly see her point, and it made me really rethink the direction that I was going and make some really substantial changes in the writing of it. So it took me quite a while. I mean, in spite of my my own lecture on getting into your being and staying out of your feelings, it took me a long time to be able to put that into focus in my mind because it was so deep.
When you got the revisions, the edited version back, was it a better book?
Well, I'm still working on it, so I don't know whether it's a better book or not.
But did it? Do you think
that's
it's moving?
The thing. You just can never quit.
But do you think it's moving you toward
oh,
its being a better
absolutely.
Book?
Yeah, very much so. It's moving me in a direction that when I started this book, you know, I really started this because I was interested in writing. And when my mother was in her dying years, she always said over and over how much she wanted to write a book, and she never did. And when I started into writing, I thought, you know, I'm going to write a book in her place. And
there you go.
And so I started that, and I got so involved in it, I didn't realize what the process was about. It was incredibly deep and testing. I mean, I've done a lot of things in my life, but I'm not a young man, so this is late in life to start this, but I decided I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So,
finding
these setbacks and learning through them is really a growing experience for me.
But you know, David, the real sadness is when you hear somebody say that they would have liked to write a book but didn't, or when somebody gets talked out of doing something because of a rejection or a comment or a criticism. That's the real sadness, isn't it?
And that's why I wrote the rejection blog, just for those people so they don't give up, because you just can't let go of that dream if that's a dream.
And, you know, you also, in order to make a work better, sometimes you have to complete it even if you think it's terrible. I mean, I found myself with things I've written saying, this is just horrible. I'm going to finish it, and then I'm going to give it a day, and then I'm going to read it. Maybe I'll find something I can salvage. Has that happened to you?
You know, that's so true. And I'm just reading a blog from a blog post called Writer Unboxed. And that's one of the things he says in his write-up is just keep going. Just get into the whimsy of doing it.
Yeah.
And don't let yourself get judged into especially the first draft. Just keep going, and just have fun. And
don't try to write.
Don't necessarily have an agenda of where it's going. Just do it.
Yeah. And don't try to write a review at the same time as you're writing something. It'll drive you crazy.
Right, exactly.
David, thank you so much for talking with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it so much. And I certainly hope people will come to the Writers Conference and go to www.kauaiwriters.com.
We'll send them your way. Thanks, David. David Dinner is a member of the Planning Committee for the 2nd Annual Kauai Writers Conference, which is May 1st through 3rd at the Marriott Courtyard in Kapa'a, Kauai. And you can find out more about it on our Hawaii Conversation Facebook page.
Support for today's programming comes from the 10th Annual Hawaii Book and Music Festival, celebrating reading, storytelling, and music, May 2nd and 3rd on the grounds of Honolulu Hale. Event schedule online at hawaiibookandmusicfestival.com.
In today's backyard quiz, we're going back to the basics of operation, that is. Every program, recording, and newscast produced at HPR usually requires a fundamental piece of equipment. Without these objects, the voices of your favorite hosts wouldn't make it out the room, much less to your ears. Since 1981, HPR has used model MD421, which carries a nearly $400 price tag. But these items are durable, high quality, and forgiving. HPR can attest to that durability as we continue to use a few that were purchased 30 years ago. So, what objects are we talking about? Talking just might be the hint you need, but if you're still stymied, we'll tell you next half hour.
And international news heard only on Hawaii Public Radio, as well as locally produced programs like The Conversation. Good morning. I'm Wayne Yoshioka, HPR's political reporter, and we have a goal of $3,500 for The Conversation. We hope to raise that. We have a matching gift in the amount of $500, $230 left from friends of HPR from Honolulu. The numbers to call, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free 877-941-3689. Joined by Chad Blair, political reporter for the Civil Beat.
Thank you, Wayne. That's civilbeat.com, actually. Get that right, okay?
I'm not into this electronic age. You know, I'm still far behind.
You're still using a typewriter and a pen and paper,
and,
right?
And a flip phone. Thank you, Chad. And sure. Also joining us, Molly Solomon, our award-winning HPR General Assignment Reporter.
Hi, Wayne. Good to be here.
Yeah. And we have all of the members from Civil Beat waiting to answer the phones here. Louie, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, and Mike. The numbers to call, 941-3689 on Oahu. Toll-free from the neighbor islands, 877-941-3689.
If you don't mind me saying, Wayne, I think this might have been someone who pledged upstairs because I was just there with Michael and the gang in the Atherton. But someone called in, and they pledged $100 simply because they heard me on the radio. And that always makes you feel good. This is a friend of mine in Hilo. His name is Vid. But they forgot to mention that he was also pledging for former Peace Corps volunteers in Micronesia. And Vid is actually from Micronesia, and that's where I spent some formative years. So thank you for pledging your support, Vid. We really appreciate that. And a nice plug for the people, the great people of Micronesia.
Well, thank you very much, Chad. Molly, we have another challenge that's going to take us couple of minutes to explain.
Yeah, I'm going to take a deep breath right now. this is a great challenge. Planning Solutions have brought a challenge to the table. They're calling it the "You Really Must Come Back" challenge.
You really must.
You really do. Yeah, no, but it's really something that's for maybe the member that has lapsed a little bit in their Hawaii Public Radio membership. Perhaps they gave a couple years ago, maybe a little more than that. We want you to come back, and we're a forgiving bunch. And what Planning Solutions is going to do is the first caller that calls back at that pledge of $10 a month or more, and any level above $10
right.
a month is great, but they're going to match you dollar for dollar. So essentially, your money is going to be doubled.
And it's a 2-to-1 match, isn't
yes.
that right?
Yes.
So if you pledge $120, that's going to mean how much? Do the math here, Phyllis.
Okay, let me take out my abacus. $240, exactly. But wait, it gets better.
There's more.
if that call comes in for a dollar a day, $30.41 a month, month, it's going to get tripled. Oh, wait, tripled. No, I said that wrong.
If
it is a sustaining member.
That's correct. Right. Sustaining means you're really going to sign up for the long haul here because you want to make sure that, you know, every month we can count on a certain amount of money coming from you, and it could be as little as $10 or $30, mm-hmm. whatever is your comfort range. But that way we can help balance our books knowing that there will be a continued revenue stream, if you will.
Exactly. So, it helps keep us stable, really.
Yeah, so we're waiting for that first call for sustaining members, someone who has not been paying their dues but wants to come back and make a commitment. The number to call is 941-3689, toll-free from everywhere off Oahu, 1-877-941-3689.
And all of our volunteers are going to promise not to call you a yo-yo sustaining member, meaning you're coming back. So we all took that pledge. The number to call, 941-3689. We have Louie, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, and Mike waiting for your call from the neighbor islands and elsewhere, 877-941-3689. 3689. We have somebody to thank.
Yeah, you know somebody that did come back into the HPR fold. Ariana Feinberg calling from Pukalani on Maui.
Right.
Love to hear from
up
the
country.
Neighbor islands. And long-time listener. Came back,
right.
Renewed her membership.
Thank you so much. And by the way, the guys on the phones, they're my Civil Beat peeps. And I don't know if they prepped you guys, but there's actually free donuts and coffee upstairs. So help yourself, okay?
And there's nothing free.
Yeah.
We're in the ninth day of our pledge drive. We have $213,000 to raise. We have a limited capacity in terms of the number of phones. So if you want to support locally produced programs like The Conversation, now is the time to call. We have Louie, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, and Mike waiting for your call. 941-3689 on Oahu. Toll free, 877-941-3689.
And let me just give a big plug to the award-winning news program, the local news programming here at HPR, heard on HPR 2 and 1, but Molly Solomon, Wayne Yoshioka, Bill Dorman, Noe Tanigawa, gosh, am I forgetting, is that everybody? As well as the guys on the air, you know, that are reading the news, Derek Malama and others. This is where I worked a couple of years ago, and I still have fond feelings for it, and I HPR is part of my day, guys, and it's worth it to me to have a little bit of money coming out of my paycheck so that I can get radio, so I can get news, I can get quality programming, my jazz, my classical. So do what I did. Call this number, 941-3689, 1-877-941-3689, particularly if you haven't been paying your dues and you want to come back.
Right, if you want to come back, right. A returning member, because really your dollar, if you call in at that dollar a day level, it's going to triple.
Double or triple.
Yep. It's a big deal. It's great value to Hawaii Public Radio. Make the decision. Call HPR. We'd love to hear from a new member, a returning member, but you have to pick up the phone and give us a call to do that. 941-3689 is the number if you're on Oahu, 877-941-3689, our toll-free line.
And Chad, you always come back and, you know, help us out.
I know.
Can we call you a yo-yo sustaining member?
Well, yeah. Yes, you can. You can just call me Yo. you know, speaking of which, I got to get up and run down to the CR. I will. In fact, I'm going to walk to CR7, but I'll be back.
Okay, thanks so much. Chad Blair from Civil Beat, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free, 877-941-3689. His colleagues from Civil Beat are waiting to hear your call. Molly, we're going to be here for the next break.
I will.
And support The Conversation. It's a great program. It's a locally produced 1,600 interviews over the last year. So, and multiply that by four, and wow. 941-3689 on Oahu, toll free, 877-941-3689 from the neighbor islands. Going back to Beth Ann with a reality check with Chad Blair.
And thanks very much, Wayne and Molly. And yes, Chad Blair has scurried down the hallway and is in front of me now after he's been polishing his pitching skills. Well, today there is concern over the number of vacancies left to be filled by Governor Ige. Government watchers are wondering why he hasn't made certain appointments, especially as the deadline is passed for appointments requiring Senate confirmation before the May 7th end of the legislative session. And, of course, Chad Blair is here to tell us all with today's reality check. Why has it appeared to be that the governor hasn't made these appointments, some of them quite key?
Right. What the governor says, what his spokesman says, or spokeswoman rather, is that they're taking their time because they want to get the right people for these very key positions. And I'll explain what that is in just a moment. But they're having some challenges finding the right people. The governor,
clearly, we've seen that.
Yes, we have. I mean, maybe the Carlton Ching thing has something to do with this. You know, you appointed Caslin Cook a lobbyist to run the land board, and of course that backfired, and he wisely replaced that nomination with Suzanne Case from the Nature Conservancy, and that'll be approved probably very shortly. But it's difficult to find people to go into government these days. The economy's good, there's plenty of jobs, and the kind of people with the skills that the governor is looking for, they can get high-paying jobs in the private sector. Not only that, you're going to come under scrutiny. Some of these require Senate confirmation, and so your laundry is going to be hung out to dry, and people are going to learn a lot about you. Who wants to give that up, that privacy to, and a lot of these are volunteer positions too. Why would you want to do that for very little return? But the governor is taking his time, and it's promising to get these appointments made.
So let's talk about some of those appointments. We're talking about first the Office of Planning.
Right. Office of Planning, Jesse Suki ran that under Governor Abercrombie. He had that position planned very quickly. That office is key for advising the Land Use Commission and others. I mean, it is exactly what it sounds like, the Office of Planning. This is trying to map out the direction of the state. There is also the Land Use Commission itself. The governor actually had to withdraw a couple of the people that he put forth for those positions. Another one is the Commission on Water Resource Management. And as you know, we've been talking about that because of the Bill Balfour nomination. It did make it out of Laura Thielen's committee.
And then Environmental Quality Control.
Right. So Jessica Woolley, the former lawmaker, strong on environmental issues. She doesn't even know whether she's going to be kept on. No word yet as to whether the governor wants to keep the position.
At this point, anyone's names that you're being in the background rumored to be floating for any of these positions that obviously come with a big price tag of how much people were going to know about you without having the money price tag attached to
it? No, but the big concern is that these are really things that involve land use, water use, control, the coast and so forth. The concern is that people with environmental experience may be passed over in favor of developer interests, and that, of course, was the whole Carlton Ching thing. So the complaints are coming primarily from the environmental community, who say the people that were on board there were really good. Governor Ige, would you please appoint some similar caliber? Exactly.
In some cases. But it seems that we're having this deja vu with, you know, haven't we learned this lesson? I mean, you've got to appoint people who have the experience and the ability to serve.
Or even keep them on board, like Bill Tamm on the Commission on Water Resource Management. He helped write the state's water code. Who better to keep on? But in fact, the governor decided not to keep Bill Tamm.
All right, well, we're going to wait and see what happens with some of these. Meanwhile, obviously, the ones who are in position now are going to have to serve on an interim basis.
That's correct, or they'll have acting directors, acting people fill in, but you're not going to have someone who
has stability.
Exactly.
Right. So. Okay, we have to go for the moment. Thanks for trotting down the hall. Good to see you across the table.
Okay.
Go back to pitching. Chad Blair is the political reporter for CivilBeat.com.
Earlier in the show, we asked you to name an object that's vitally important to any radio station. The model we use at HPR is forgiving to the human voice, does not pick up lip smacks and tongue clicks to the extent that some others do. And the object we're looking for is the microphone. At HPR, we use the Sennheiser MD421, the same model we adopted in 1981. In fact, a few of those original mics, purchased in 1981, are still in use today. And how's that for stretching the dollars you pledged to the station? Thanks to Jason Taglianetti for that one. And if you have a backyard quiz for us, send it along to talkback@hawaiiconversation.org.
Up until recently, many scientists believed that they could only predict an El Nino condition 3 seasons in advance at best. This week, new research is creating a paradigm shift in El Nino predictability up to 3 years in advance, along with a change in thinking about exactly how it happens. The study is in Tuesday's online issue of Nature Communications. UH Manoa Professor of Oceanography Axel Timmerman is the co-author, and he's back in the studio with us now. Thank you for coming back.
Good morning, Beth Ann. It's a pleasure, as always.
Good morning. Looking at an El Nino situation, I mean, people hear that term all the time, but do a lot of people really understand what El Nino years really are all about, what causes them, and the fact that they're just not one-size-fits-all El Nino?
So there are two types of El Nino. We call them flavors. There is the Eastern Pacific El Nino, so the Eastern Equatorial Pacific warms up. This is the classical El Nino that everybody is studying pretty much, and that's the one that's causing the impact in Hawaii, in California, along the South American coast, and so on. There is a second flavor of El Nino, which was discovered maybe 10 years ago. It's called El Nino Modoki, and Modoki is the Japanese word for similar but different, so very zen-like. And this Modoki flavor happens more in the Central Pacific, and because the atmosphere responds to where the main warming is located in the Pacific, the impacts are more directed towards the west, so towards Australia and towards Indonesia. And our study found that this second flavor, this El Nino Modoki flavor, has a long predictability, up to 3 years, as you said. And the predictability, the memory in the system is not in the Pacific itself, which is a little bit counterintuitive, but it's in the Atlantic. So the Atlantic plays a major role in driving global sea level pressure and wind changes that have an effect on the tropical Pacific, the Central Pacific, and that's how the low frequency, the slow variations in this mode can come about that we can predict with climate models.
It used to be that everyone looked to the Pacific, that it was the big driver. You know, you've got to see what's happening with the Pacific to see if you're going to have an El Nino year or not. That seems to be not what's coming out of this research, that it's maybe not as important as once was thought.
Right. Think about it as an orchestra with many different players, and of course, the Pacific is the string section, so really providing a big backbone for the climate orchestra there. But there are other players, and the Atlantic and also the Indian Ocean have been identified in the last years as important players, in particular for the slow changes that we are seeing. And one of the examples is the recent intensification of the trade winds from the 1990s all the way to 2013. The equatorial trade winds have intensified, piling up huge amounts of warm water in the Western Pacific. That's a sea level rise that caused island inundations in the West Pacific. And that was wind-driven. Only a quarter or a third of it was due to global warming. So the sea level rise in that area is wind-driven. And that was also initiated by the Atlantic warming that happened at the same time. Furthermore, the same trade winds cooled the Eastern Pacific, and that was the reason for the so-called global warming hiatus, the fact that the global mean temperature stalled, because everywhere else it was warming, but the Eastern Pacific was cooling because of these trade winds intensifying. And the cooling in this area has also caused the California drought. But without the Atlantic warming, we would not have had this cooling in the Eastern Pacific. So what we see is really this connection between all the ocean basins. Every player has an important role, but in particular on these decadal scale variations, we have to put them all together.
Axel Timmerman, why did it take so long for us to realize that the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic were not just bit players, but really significant players?
Well, I think it's very much the perspective of climate scientists. They have their favorite ocean basin that they know very well, and it's a little bit of a pigeonhole perspective.
Myopically driven only on the Pacific.
Yes. And in particular, interannual variability. So thinking about the typical El Nino, you don't need the other ocean basins for that necessarily. But looking at this Central Pacific El Nino, which is more low frequency, so it has slower variations, we need the Atlantic for that. And I think we are opening our horizons right now to look at the global tailor connectivity of these ocean basins.
I mean, that seems to be really what this is pointing to, is that what we've maybe known intuitively, we're all connected, the oceans flow, there's no line of demarcation, this is the beginning of this, and that's the... All of that has to be shown in practice and not just in principle. So what do we take away from this in terms of how policy is driven? Because most of this is meant to protect lives.
Yeah, so it's very interesting, this three-year prediction horizon that we have identified for this particular flavor of El Nino, which is very relevant, is, of course, a similar timescale as decision makers would like to see climate prediction to operate on. So in particular in Australia, I think this is going to be very relevant. And predictions, climate predictions 3 years ahead means that you can really start acting and planning and acting and not acting randomly. So I think this is a new horizon for climate scientists really to provide relevant information to policymakers.
And the effect on Hawaii?
The effect on Hawaii, the El Nino Modoki has relatively weak influences on Hawaii. As I said, it's more in the Western Hemisphere. But right now, for example, we are in an El Nino Modoki state, and the climate models suggest that over the next months, this will become a classical El Nino state, so with an eastern Pacific warming, and that will have ramifications for Hawaii, and in particular, the climate models suggest that it's going to get wetter in summer in Hawaii and drier most likely then in the following winter.
And again, making the point that it really, truly is all tied together.
Yes, it is all tied together, and as I said, the El Nino that's going to develop over this year, the Eastern Pacific El Nino, that's going to have an effect on the drought conditions in California, most likely causing, triggering an end to the very severe drought that they had.
And that will be a very welcome relief.
Yeah. But this is all based on current climate models, and these climate models didn't do very well last year in terms of the predictions. So we are a little bit more careful this year because of the bust of the predictions last year.
So we'll, when we see the rain, we'll believe it. And
yes.
Until that time happens,
well,
be
not
a little
only
more
the rain.
Circumspect, truly, about the climate
yeah.
modeling.
So the warming in the eastern equatorial Pacific is about to occur very soon, so in the next couple of months. And I think then we have a very clear sign and evidence for the emerging El Nino and its impacts.
All right, we'll be able to talk to you more then. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Axel Timmerman is a UH Manoa professor of oceanography. He's also the leader of the UH Manoa International Pacific Research Center's Paleoclimate Research Unit, and he's the co-author of the recent Climate Predictability Report. We're just moving along here today. That's going to do it for this show and its truncated version. Up tomorrow, we're going to talk about neighborhood board elections, not just getting people to sign up to be able to do it, but getting out people to vote.
And Honolulu Museum of Art Director Stefan Yost will talk with us about the international trade in stolen art and the problems it poses for museums.
Right now, we're going to go over to Pledge Central, find out how we're doing on this day 9 morning. Over to Wayne and Molly, and I think maybe Chad might be there, too.
He's here. And we're moving along, too, Beth-Ann. We have $203,000, $971 left to go, and we want to get it below the $200,000 mark. Good morning. I'm Wayne Yoshioka, HBR's political reporter, joined by Chad Blair, political reporter from Civil Beat.
Hi, Wayne. Like-minded people here at the table today.
And we have Molly Solomon, HBR's award-winning general assignment reporter.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey. We have somebody to thank, Chad?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I want to thank Polly and Stephanie Frazier of Kailua. They called in and returned to the fold. They have renewed their membership. And they actually picked up the baseball cap to boot. So thank you, Polly and Stephanie.
So we really want to raise $3,972.
Just under $4,000.
All right.
If we can do this, boy, wouldn't it be good to get under that $200,000 mark?
So good.
It's day 9 here, and yeah. You can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're still not out of the tunnel just yet. And we're really trying to encourage you to call right now. The number to call for HPR2 is 941-3689. It's free as always from the neighbor islands and beyond. 1-877-941-3689. Help us get below $200,000. A pledge of $120? We'll take whatever you got.
And to help us along, we have a matching gift in the amount of $500 from Friends of HPR from Honolulu. We have $50 left on that matching gift.
All right.
So we need the $500 first before they can get the matching gift. So
that's
give us a call.
$50?
$50. 941-3689 on Oahu. Toll free, 877-941-3689. And a special challenge to returning sustaining members.
Yeah, you know, we still have the Planning Solutions You Really Must Come Back Challenge, a call out to anybody who might have been a member in the past but hasn't, you know, maybe come back in a couple years.
And
returning
some did
members.
This morning, right?
Exactly.
You know, we are so grateful for this. It really helps keep us on tap in terms of our bills, keeping them paid. So thank you for joining, and thank you, Planning Solutions.
And we have an upgrading sustaining member on the line from Mountain View on Hawaii Island.
Wow, thank you so much. Fantastic. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about we have, you know, just about 4,000 to get under that $200,000 number. And, you know we can get this done by Friday. We know we can. We've done it before. But I challenge you to help us get it done today. Wouldn't that be great if we could just end the pledge drive day 9? I think we can do it,
we
too.
We could. And if somebody calls in and the next call we get, we'll probably meet that $50 for that $500 challenge. And then that doubles. That's $1,000, right? So if we've only got $4,000 to go for that, to get us under that $200,000
mark. Oh, this could make a big
difference. This next phone call is really very, very important. So call now. Let me give that number again. It's 941-3689. Neighbor Islands, 1-877-941-3689. If you call, you will get someone from Civil Beat, civilbeat.com, the place that employs me. Cliff and Louie and Heidi and Mike and Todd are chatting and reading the newspaper and checking their messages because the phones aren't ringing.
I know. Give them a call, 941-3689.
Oh,
yay.
The magic of radio.
Yeah.
Somebody who did make a call, CJ Rigsby, calling from Mountain View, Hawaii Island.
Thank you, CJ.
Right. Awesome. Went ahead and picked up that tote bag, too.
Sweet.
Nice.
You know, there's a big psychological leap when you go $200,000 to below that. I mean, it is. It is just some way of really seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, it picks you up. I mean, this is day 9. We would love to finish this. We would love to return to regular programming. We know that you tolerate the pledge drive. You recognize that this is the way we pay the bills twice every year. But we are just like you. We want to get back to our regular gig. So call now and help us get over that fun drive. 941-3689. Write that number down. That's 941-3689. And it's the same toll free with a 1-877 in front of it.
$3,972 to go.
Thank you.
To go under the $200,000 mark. That would be great. We have a matching gift. $50 left to get $500, $1,000 matching. Friends from HPR from Honolulu.
Yeah, we don't know who their names are. We might privately know who they are, but they don't care about having their names read out. They just want you to know that they care enough to pony up $500. And Wayne, do we have some news on that?
Well, yeah, we have another sustaining member on the line.
All right.
Wow.
Thank you.
And
thank
let's entice
you.
Some more with that.
Planning solutions.
The planning solutions.
Well, that has actually been taken away from me because it
hour,
has been met.
But
yes.
we will be returning that in future breaks. That's how we do this, 1 hour at a time. We set our goals because we know exactly how much we have to make every hour. And if we don't, we're falling short. So call now. You can get through at 941-3689, 1-877. 941-3689. The folks upstairs in HPR1 are joining HPR2 to get us under that $200,000 mark. That is the goal in the next minute or so.
And we can do it down here at HPR2.
There
we have Louie, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, Mike from Civil Beat. Are they going to be here for the next hour? This is it, right, for them?
This is it. We got to go
back to work.
We got to go back and produce an online newspaper, civilbeat.com. But we are buddies here. We are media partners, HPR and Civil Beat.
So this is it. If you want to talk to Louie, Heidi, Cliff, Todd, or Mike from Civil Beat, you've got about a half a minute left.
Right. Mm-hmm. We've heard from Pukalani. We've heard from Kailua. How about you? How about you, wherever you are in this great state of ours?
Love to hear
Call from now. You. Pledge your support. Help us get over that goal. Wayne, back to you.
And this matching gift in the amount of $500. We need $50 left.
One phone call.
Wow.
Yes. Let's see
$50
if we got it.
Will mean an additional $500
right.
to Hawaii Public Radio.
$1,000 total, right?
Wow.
Because it's a matching gift.
Yep.
So, yep.
Let's see if we got it. Do we have it? Yes, we have it.
Oh, yay! Thank you. Thank you.
All
see,
right.
It really does make us happy.
And you're tuned to member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, KIPO Honolulu, KIPM Waikapu, KHPH Kailua Kona, KIPH Hana, KIPL Lihue, KAHU Pahala, collectively the stations of HPR2, Chad Blair, and all the members from Civil
Thanks,
Beat.
Wayne.
Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much
Thank
for
you.
Coming
Thanks,
down here. We go to NPR News and the Takeaway, but first you can still call. The phones will be on the line, 941-3689 on Oahu, toll-free 877-941-3689.